Truly is an honor to stand before you as the men of this community who are influential in the day-to-day outcomings and goings of what happens here in Kokomo. I want to challenge us today on the idea of identity. My children have been working on a game for school called Who Am I? And I want to ask you today about this individual from the Scriptures. He was naked, overseeing a task of naming animals. And in full confidence of who he was, who am I? When we think about Adam for a moment, in the beginning, he knew who he was. And then with temptation and sin came the struggle of identity. So the struggle of identity is nothing new in our generation. It's nothing new in the span of history. It goes back to the beginning of a struggle of identity. I want us to think for a moment, if it wasn't for the car we drive, the title attached to our business card, the amount of money we make, or even all the toys that we have sitting idle in our garage, we men might not have anything to describe ourselves of or speak of in regards to our identity. When you think for a moment how sin has corrupted identity, it's amazing how now we as men struggle many times with understanding who we are rather than what God says we already are. Our identity in Christ is kind of like our fingerprints. It's unique. It identifies us as followers of Him. This moment of time that we're together, there's no way that we can truly grasp the full understanding of who we are in Christ other than the simple fact that we are in Him. And that the Scriptures then have been given to us to journey through and detail our lives in identification of being a follower of Him. I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says this. It's in Christ that we find who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs for us. Designs for us to live a glorious life. And part of the overall purpose is Him working out then now every detail in our lives. You see, it's in Christ that we can find who we are. And we ultimately can find our God-given potential. In John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, Jesus came on the scene and He saw the potential in the life of another person. And this is what He said. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is later translated Peter. The Scriptures teach us the potential when we find Jesus. And when Jesus finds us and identifies us, then that's when we can discover the true potential that we have to walk out this life that now identifies us as followers of Christ. The Bible says for us today that we're a chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare His praises amongst whom you've been called." You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're a chosen people. This group of men here in this community are a chosen group of individuals to do what? To show forth the light of Christ in our community. To show forth that we've been chosen by God, that we've been purposed by God. On your outlines, there's this quote that says, "Knowing we are in Him gives us confidence in truly being ourselves," and then in His Spirit shows us the specific gifts and how to use them to make His name known. In essence, we're all together here in this moment of time to understand further our identity in Christ so that we can walk forward from this place and make Him known. And I want to challenge you just in these few moments to not compare yourself with the rest of the men in this room. A lot of times I think we can sit around these tables and compare our bank accounts, our toys, the things that we have sitting at home. But I want us for a moment to not compare ourselves to others in this room. I don't even want us to, for this moment of time, even feel insecurity because of maybe where we're at or what we're dealing with or what situations we're going through. Because when we do that, that robs us of understanding who we are in Christ. It's important that we see ourselves the way God sees us. And then as we see ourselves the way God sees us, we can now respond with a life of obedience in honoring who He is. I just turned 40 this year, and back in the 80s, Carmen had a song. One of the songs that Carmen had was An Overcoming Child of God, or Overcomer. And in that song, there was a phrase. Carmen said, I'm a Bible-thumping, pew-jumping, Jesus-loving, devil-shoving, blood-bought, red-hot, soul-redeeming, shouting, screaming, overcoming child of God. Carmen understood who He was. When we understand who we are in Christ, we'll live different. Our lives will look different. Paul spent much time in the book of Romans talking about letting the Word transform our mind, letting the Word be that which we renew to for this purpose, so that we don't fit in with the world, so that we don't fit in with the culture around us. Maybe you don't know what God says about you. I found some things that He said about you in His Word. He says, you and I are His children, that we've been redeemed, that we're precious and loved by our Father, that we belong to God, that we're adopted as His children, that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We've been chosen by God. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're complete in Him. We're crucified with Christ, no longer a slave to sin. I'm free from condemnation. I'm justified by faith. I'm righteous. I'm accepted by God. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I've been marked and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. As a son, I have authority, and I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. So for a moment, God knows who we are. For a moment, can we grasp the idea that He loves us and He created us for a purpose? That purpose is to make Him known. It's not about me. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's not about us. It's not about Huddle. It's about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're here for the purpose of making Him known and pointing people to Him. Again, the identity of Christ is what makes us different. Colossians chapter 3. Man, if I had time, I'd read the whole book of Colossians with you. The whole book of Colossians is rooted in knowledge of who we are in Christ. I love Paul's writings. I love Paul's teachings. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14, speaks of the identity that we have now in Christ. See, I almost titled today's message, Naked and Not Ashamed. Because when you think about Adam for a moment, he was naked there doing what God had asked him to do. And then when sin and temptation came in, then he had these identity questions that began to filter his life. Would to God that we would get back to a place in our personal lives where we're naked and not ashamed. That we're naked before God. That we're naked before Him, revealing to Him what He already knows. And then us allowing Him to write that identity upon our lives. Colossians chapter 3 says, don't lie to one another. You've done that with the old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you stripped off and you put into the fire. Now you're dressed with this new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by your Creator. And it has His label on it. It has His name on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish, non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized, unclue, slave, free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is identified by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Verse 12, so chosen by God. Men of God, let's see ourselves as being chosen by Him. Chosen by God now for this new life of love. This is what we're to dress in. This is what we're to wear. That's been picked out for us by God. It's compassion. It's kindness. It's humility. It's quiet strength. It's discipline. It's being even tempered. It's even being content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive us quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Never be without love. Never be without love being that which we notify ourselves as being a follower of Christ. You can write this down. Psalm 139 is another great place for you to find out the identity of who we are. Again, God knows about you. What Psalm 39 teaches is that God knows about us, that He created us, that He designed us, that He has loving thoughts towards us, and that He's ultimately always changing us. What can I take from the idea of identity of being in Christ? It's taking and knowing the truth about who we are and then walking out that new identity. If we've received Christ and we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we're now challenged by the Word of God to now walk in relationship with Him. And here's the beautiful thing. He didn't abandon us. We don't have to try to figure out on our own. He's given us the Holy Spirit now to walk with us every step of the way. There are some religions in the Eastern world that speak of losing your personal identity. That's contrary to what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches that we discover our unique identity as we draw closer to the Lord. I'm on a journey of discovery. And as I discover who I am in Christ, then I know that I'm secure in Him, and that gives me the confidence to truly be me. So I don't have to question anymore. Who am I? What am I going through? What's this life all about? Once I know Christ and I'm secure in Him, that gives me the confidence to now walk knowing that His Spirit will show me how to use the gifts that He's given me and how to use them for His purpose to make other people see Christ. It's so that others see Christ within us. You see, my life has taken a turn of events over the last several years. I was raised in this community. Went to a local high school. My wife and I went to rival high schools. I went to the only Indiana university, Purdue University. My house is divided all the way. It's all rival, right? It's all split in this room right there. My house is divided all the way. My wife was a Western grad. I'm a Northwestern grad. She's an IU grad. I'm a Purdue grad. And the only thing that brings us together is Jesus Christ. Now, I say that, though, with honor and humility towards my wife. She's put up with my journey. I came back from Purdue and taught in the local schools here for about 8 to 10 years. And in that season, I knew I was called. I knew God had a purpose for my life. But I was trying to identify with my education. I was trying to identify with the things that Chad had achieved. I was trying to identify with all those things. And you know what? I could not open doors for myself. So I had the education. I had a degree from Purdue. I later went on to Oral Roberts University and got a master's there. All these degrees, and nothing was opening before me. So in the moment of my struggle trying to determine who is Chad, what does God have for my life, what purpose do I have, it brought me to a place of humility to say, God, I don't know anymore. It brought me to a place of sitting on an airplane in Tulsa, Oklahoma, getting ready to fly back to Indianapolis, when very quietly I heard in my kind of a still small voice, God saying, this is your season of Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. I laughed, and I literally did laugh, because I was raised in church. At a young age, I come to know Christ at 12 years of age, and I thought, God, I trust you. God was teaching me, do you trust me, or do you trust the things that I've allowed to be a blessing into your life with? So a little over time did I find out that the education wasn't going to open the doors. Little over time did I find that my name, my reputation, even who people thought I was and the influence I had was not going to open doors. It was God and God alone, me finding my identity and who He was. I was very humbled to come back to this community, and I started working with Bridges Outreach. Through that opportunity, I began to meet new people. In meeting new people, my kids were playing basketball at New Life Church. And the founder's wife of Huddle was speaking that day, giving a testimony. As I heard her testimony, I began to listen to Mrs. Jacobs and what she had to say. We talked briefly. Several weeks later, she called me and gave me an invitation to go through Jim's library. She heard my story, I heard her story. At that time, I had no idea what was in my future, but God did. God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. He's the author. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith. So in that moment of time, I never saw myself pastoring. I never saw myself leading a church. I never saw myself in that place. But someone did, and someone spoke into my life and said, I would like to provide you with some material. So my boys and I, we go through Jim's library. As we're going through this library, I'm overwhelmed by the content of the library. I leave with about 3+ boxes of books, still not knowing where my personal journey was going to take me, but I knew I was in Christ. Over that season, it had me trust Him, and not into my own understanding, but to lean into Him. He was teaching me what it truly meant to be a child of God. He was teaching me what it truly meant to understand my identity in Him. Almost a year went by. Transitioned into lead a ministry here in this community. It was a Saturday night. Again, I found myself in a place of struggle. I go to my garage. There sits Jim's boxes of books. I'm searching the books. I get down to the last book, the last box. Almost down to the last book within the box. There I sat in that garage floor on a Saturday night, reading a book called Healing Grace. A few years ago, I heard of grace at a place called the Great Banquet Community. You see, I thought it was only grace that I was saved by. I never understood that it was grace that I now live by. And in that moment, sitting there on that garage floor, looking through that last box of books, in essence, I was naked there on that garage floor, learning to be content with what God had given me. And in that moment of learning to be content with what God had given me, I had to learn to live in appreciation, and that came from understanding a life of now grace. And knowing that God has created each of us, are we content with what God has given us? We're always in this overdrive mode of wanting more and wanting more. Can we just for a moment be content with what God has given us? You see, naked there in the garden, Adam was content to name those animals for the Creator Himself. God has given each of us something to do. Will we be content with what God has given us? Can you imagine for a moment asking a man today to sit at a rock naked and come up with names of animals that parade in front of him? Now listen, we can kind of laugh about that, but you know what we recognize is that after the laughter fades away, Adam could take an inventory of what was just occurring, and then things began to turn for him, and then now the rest of manhood. God called out to Adam and Eve, we find in the book of Genesis, and He says this, "Where are you?" They appeared from their hiding wearing fig leaves, and they were personally ashamed. The first thing that the Father said to them, "Who told you that you were naked?" To me, that's an amazing verse when we think about God speaking. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that your identity is now not found in me? Who's deceived you that you run from the source of your contentment? Who deceived you that you now wear simple leaves, hiding your physical identity from me and others? In essence, we can see in the Scriptures God saying, "I placed identity in you when I made you. Now don't hide from me." And what do we do in a life of sin? We hide. We hide in all the things that we mentioned before. But we have to recognize when we look in the Scriptures and we see the identity of Jesus Christ, that identity is within us. I want us to think for a moment, have we allowed a sense of worth to be robbed from our lives? Have we allowed confidence to be robbed from our lives? Ever since the struggle there in the garden, mankind has dealt with these questions that our identity has been about what we do, what we have, what we know, who we know, what we've done, what we make, what we wear, how we perform. Tom White in The Voice of the Martyrs said this, "Our safe place, our contentment, I'll add, is not where we live, it is in whom we live." Dwight L. Moody said Moses spent 40 years in the king's palace thinking that he was somebody. Then he lived 40 years in the wilderness finding out that without God he was a nobody. Finally, he spent 40 more years discovering how a nobody with God can become a somebody. I am standing today as a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ that I was a nobody who's became somebody because of Jesus. And I'm in a room today with men who because of Jesus can become a somebody in this community. Because of Jesus, you can influence the life of another. Because of Jesus and our identity in Him, we can make a difference here in the city in which we live. And as we spend time with Christ, the Scriptures will live a lifetime, help us to scrutinize and prioritize values in light of our commitment of being in Him. That's the purpose of being in the Word. That's the purpose of reading the Word. So as we do that, what happens then is the heavenly realm, the identity that we have in Christ, becomes a value now in the life that we live here in the present. So over a course of time, don't be ashamed if some things are affirmed or some things are modified or some things are completely rejected as you walk with Christ. In his letters, Paul would often use that phrase, in Christ. I believe there's well over 160 times you'll find in Christ, in him, throughout the scriptures. What does that mean for us today? It means that if we're alive in Christ, we're rising to this new level, this new identity, this new way of living. We're rising to this level of understanding that we're now under God's authority. That then offers now an opportunity for you and I to live a new way. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in what? Be in themselves? Be in their job? Be in an identity other than Christ? No. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the most basic truth of our identity, is our position that we have before God. And it determines who we are in Christ. And knowing this, that if my position is in Christ, then he's my king. And if he's my king now, I live to a different set of rules. I live to a different set of allegiance. 1 John 4 tells us what we're to do. We're to love. We're to wear that garment of love. We're to be that expression of God's love. We're to be that allegiance pledged to the King of Kings. When you think for a moment, God doesn't compel us to produce something for him that he lacks. He lacks nothing. What he does require, what he does ask, or what he does invite is our allegiance to him. And it simply comes in the act of love towards one another. Loving those who claim to follow Christ here in that allegiance, here in this room. But then also loving those, which is what's strange about following Christ, is loving those who reject him. Loving those who are our enemies. When you begin to see that from a perspective, well, they're our enemies right now because they don't know Christ, so then I want to love them anyway. Not reject them, not push them away, but to love them. We love believers, we love those who do not follow Christ. Why? Because we know that as we follow Christ, we're going to share in that same joy of being in him. We're individuals, but we're part of a greater community, building a great kingdom. And when Jesus Christ is the center and the focus, greatness is always the outcome. When Jesus Christ is the center and focus of our lives, greatness is always the outcome. We have only scratched the surface when we think about identity. But I believe it will take a lifetime of plunging in, knowing that it's worth our time, it's worth our energy, it's worth our exploration, it's worth us giving our all to discover who Christ is within our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, he is the source of your life in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is our all in all. I'm learning this. My identity has nothing to do with performance, has nothing to do with my abilities, has nothing to do with my own holiness, but has everything to do with what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it's not what I achieve, it's what I receive. And I receive what he done for me 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. If we ever lose sight of that, if we ever lose sight that he is our sufficiency, I believe this, that our Christian life will slowly and gradually become a struggle and a burden. Secure in Christ, then we should walk as new creations, obedient and dependent on him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 21 says this, we're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now, because we're friends with God. He's already a friend with us. How, you say? In Christ. God put the wrong on him, who never did anything wrong, so that we could be right with God. If our security is based on what we do in terms of things that I mentioned in the beginning of my talk, then we can easily be shaken, and it's like a building on a house of sand. I want to encourage you today. Know that your identity is in Christ when you receive and believe what He did for you and I. And that belief comes from our heart and a profession in my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in that, you have a new identification. And then your life becomes a life of discovery, learning who you are and learning what God says about you and I. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for Your blessing that is upon our lives. Father, what a joy and a journey it is to learn more of who You are. In this moment of time, God, we call upon You, recognizing that without You, we're nothing. So God, in the moment of this discussion, Lord, help us to keep You the center and the focus. Help us to keep You the center and the focus, not only of our discussion in this moment, but help us to keep You the center and the focus of our lives. For Lord, as we keep You the center and the focus, we see the reminder that You are with us. I thank You for Your presence that's here. God, for Your strength for this community. God, we give You the praise for that. We give You the thanks for Your word that has been given to be written upon the tablets of our hearts to help us now walk out and identify us as followers of You. Father, use this community, use our lives to influence the life of another in understanding who Jesus Christ is. God, we give You the praise. We give You the glory and the honor. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.